All right. Clock on the wall's hollering at us, saying it's time. For us to begin. We are presently engaged in a study of the men and women of the New Testament, and we were looking at Sunday morning these questions that doesn't quite wrap us up with regards to the whole study, but it is the next series of questions. These are, by the way, some of the questions I believe that will be on that test in December that Donna is working up for the congregation and a family Bible hour. So these are some of the questions that we will be considering. So I know that your kids will be up on this. So you might want to be up on this in order to beat them when it comes to that. But we were presently engaged in question number 87, which are named the five Marys of the New Testament. And I believe the first answer was Mary, 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 and Mary. And I think that covered all five. I wish I would have just stayed with that one and went on to question number 88. Because we did have some questions about who is what Mary and how do all these Marys fit together. And I would like, that bugged me all week, by the way. Really bugged me.
Yeah.
Irritated me that I, that we just did, and the Easton's Bible Dictionary is a, I think, wrong in regards to that. And I say that with a great deal of humility at the same time because I know the studious nature. Generally speaking, this would be a good reference, but it is, I don't think that they have it correct here. And so hopefully we will at least get to some of that tonight. Now, I see that the Romos are with us tonight. If I'd have thought about it, I'd just called him and said, Josh, I know that you're in town. Come and explain to us all of the nuances of the five Marys. And I'm sure he would have had it on the tip of his tongue. Yeah, exactly. All right. So just a couple of items as we begin here. I did bring my Dixon this time. And I do have it marked in regards to questionable item here, but Easton's as well as others reference John chapter 19 and verse number 25, and this is our difficult discussion here in regards to Mary. Because it says, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And it seems as if what you have here is that Mary the mother of Cleophas is the sister of Mary the mother of Jesus. Now I want you to process that. I think we were, okay, so you have a set of parents, Joseph and Mary, who had two daughters at least. And they named their two daughters Mary and Mary. And I find that really hard to believe that there are only three people in this particular context. And that's where Easton suggests that there are only three individuals in this text. I'm going to suggest to you that there are four individuals in this text. There must be. Just for common sense sake, there must be four individuals in this text. That is, there is Mary, the mother of Jesus. There is Mary's sister. There is Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And then there is Mary Magdalene. Those are the four that are mentioned in this text. But the Dixon as well, in regards to this, I found this interesting. Let's see here on this particular Mary. It says, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, they were parents of James the Less, an apostle, and Joseph. It is the view of some that this Mary was a sister of the Virgin, sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But it is very improbable there would be two in the family having the same name. And I found that to be a little bit more, I mean, I find it highly improbable that two parents named their two children Mary and Mary. Yes. They hadn't, that's the only, you know, that, and he's got five, and they're all named George. You know, and you're talking about, he took too many hits to the head, is what happened with him. That's all he could come up with. His wife said, well, what are we going to name this child? And it's George, you know, and all he could think about were those punches of Muhammad Ali, I guess. And
maybe he was just trying to simplify things in the family. So yeah, called him George, all five came. He got the one he wanted regardless.
There you go. So, one of the items here is, in Easton, it says, Mary, the mother of James, the less, is the sister of the Lord's mother, and that's how they reference John 19:25. They also reference that Mary, the wife of Cleophas, is the sister of the Lord. Okay, so that would make Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, then, if this is the same one, the one that is being spoken of here. And so it really irritated me that I just couldn't look at this and figure it out. And so here's some of the suggestions that have been made is that the word sister in an Aramaic language sometimes is utilized in a broad term. And that is true. Sometimes our English word sister is translated and it may not be a sister in the sense of a brother and sister. It may be the genes may be spread out a little bit further than that, the kinfolk idea. And so, but what I found interesting was that's generally when pseudogenes is mentioned. Now, listen, I've already explained to you, not only do I am not a Greek scholar anywhere close, barely a Greek student, I would check the pronunciation with somebody. Don is not here tonight, but I would check that. This word, yes, can be translated as a cousin or kinfolk. You find it in relationship to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 36. And by the way, the word here, it's an interesting word. It's just a combination word of soon, which is what's translated in your English Bible as with or the same. And then genos, which is genes, geno, same genes, in other words. That's kinfolk, in other words. Same kindred is what's being referenced there. Okay, so when Jesus got lost in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 44, who was Mary and Joseph traveling with? Their pseudogenes. Their kinfolk, you see, that's their kinfolk. Not their brothers and sisters necessarily, but their kinfolk. So the ideal is a sister does equal kinfolk in these passages here. Luke chapter 1, 36 and 58, it references this idea, okay? But now, there's also another word that's utilized. Adelphi comes from Adelphos. We know that one. The city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, brother, Adelpho. Okay, this is a feminine term. This feminizes it. Okay, and so that's a feminine term. So it's sister instead of brother is all it is. But it's a close kin. This is sister here. Okay, that's what this is, and I wrote all the passages down that I could find in relationship to this word. Never is this word translated as kinfolk. Even though there are times in reference that it refers to brothers and sisters in Christ, it is never translated kinfolk. And so I thought that was interesting because in John 19:25, the word is not kinfolk. The word is sister as in a sister. And So the ideal then is that there must be four that are listed there, unless Mary and Joseph named their two daughters, or two of their daughters, Mary and Mary. And I find that hard to believe. So it's not the word that would be referenced to a cousin, but a sister that is found in John 19 and 25. So what I'm going to suggest to you along with that is that this study right here. Mary, the mother of James, and the mother of Joseph. So here, yes, sir.
I don't mean to interrupt you on this, but one thing to think about too is it was common with Hebrews in particular for them. For instance, Lot is called Abraham's nephew and his brother.
Yes.
So, you know, that might cause some confusion for someone who doesn't study the Bible that much, but when we look back into the Hebrew history of things, we see that that was common among the Hebrews in particular.
Exactly. And so generally you would find a phrase in this sense, right? That this would be the broader sense. It's sometimes translated as sister or a close cousin or something such as that. But so you do find words in which, and you're right, sometimes the kin are hard to figure out because they're referred to in both senses in regards to that. That's an excellent point. So notice here, I'm going to ask for some Bible readers, and when you get this Bible verse, I want you to hold on to it because we may come back to it. Luke 24:10. Somebody, okay, right here, Luke 24:10. Brother Ventura has that. Mark 16:1. Raphael, you got that one, Mark 16:1. We'll just kind of work our way back. And I'll pick on the men. If you're a lady and you like to read, I hate to pick on the ladies. I don't mind picking on men, but I hate to pick on the ladies. But if you want to read, just raise your hand and I'll give you a verse here. Yes. Matthew 27:55-56. Matthew 27:55-56. You've got that right there. Mark 15:40-47. Okay, yeah. Well, the next one back, Josh. Okay, and then Victor, you have Matthew 27:61. Okay. Matthew 28:1-4. Mark 15:47. Okay, you got that one. Brother Ferguson, Mark 16:1-5. I know we have Mark 16:1 here, but verses 1-5, okay? All right. Now, got those verses? All right, so here's what I want us to be able to see in regards to these verses, and I want to grab my Bible so that I can be there. These are parallel verses here, and these are parallel verses here. Okay, these are parallel verses, and these are parallel verses. From Luke to Mark, from Matthew to Mark, from Matthew to Mark, and from Matthew to Mark. Those are parallel verses. Now, what do I mean when I talk about parallel verses? Okay, the same event is being referenced in this particular case, okay? And not necessarily that the same names are going to come up, but they will be the same people. Okay, so I want you to be able to keep in mind that Mary, the mother of James, Mary, the mother of Joseph's here. So Luke 24:10 says,
it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles.
Okay, so Mary, the mother of, who are we referencing here, Matthew, Mark? Luke 24. Sorry?
The mother of James.
The mother of James, right? Now, let's go to Mark 16 and verse number 1.
And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him.
Okay, so Mary the mother of who there?
James.
James, and who was it here?
Salome.
Okay, Mary, the mother of James is who we're looking at there, right? Mark chapter 16, right? And then Luke chapter 24, Mary, the mother of James, right? Now let's go to Matthew 27, verse 55 and 56.
And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, mother of Mary and James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
Okay, so notice Mary the mother of, in one case she's called Mary the mother of James, right? Now here she is called what?
Mother of James.
And Joseph, right? Mark 15, verse 47 first.
And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid.
Okay, say that one more time.
And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid.
Okay, the mother of Joseph. Verse 40.
There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome.
Okay, so in these verses, what we have here is sometimes she is referred to as the mother of James. In this particular case, she is called the mother of James who? The Less, right? As opposed to who else had the name James during this particular time?
Didn't it win Jesus' brother?
Well, Jesus had a brother named James. That is true. Who else? Was there not another apostle by the name of James who was one of the children of whose father was Zebedee, right? James and John. I'm sorry?
Boanerges.
Jesus. That's exactly right. Sons of Thunder, right? That's exactly right. So it's a distinct. This is not James, the son of Zebedee, you see. This is James, the son of Mary here. See, James the Less, he is referred to in this text to distinguish him from the other James. All right, now, Matthew 27:61, who had that?
And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb.
Now, here's an interesting thing. We also have all of these five Marys that we talked about on the other side of the board, but then we run into the other Mary. Okay? And so, by the way, there is another Mary that's not mentioned. The question is a little bit deceiving. The five Marys in the New Testament, there are actually six, possibly seven, if there's an other Mary that's listed here. But there are at least six, because you have in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 6, you have Mary of Rome, right? Unless she's one of these five, which there's no indication she is Mary of Rome. And we don't know much about her. She was a servant and had served the Apostle Paul, but that's all that we know about her, okay? And so we don't have any connection between Mary of Rome and any of the other Marys. So we could add her as a number six. But Matthew 27:61, go ahead and read that one more time.
And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb.
Okay, now, Mark 15:47. Who had that one?
Mark 15:47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid.
Okay, so these are parallel verses. So one says Mary Magdalene is with the other Mary. The other text is a little bit more explanatory. It says that there is another Mary there, right? But who is this other Mary? The mother of Joseph, right? Okay, so we know who the other Mary is in relationship to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4.
Now after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back a stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men.
Okay, so in Matthew 27:61, they know where the tomb is. That's the indication there. So this would have been prior to the resurrection. They know where their Lord is buried. Okay? But now in Matthew 28, we have Mary Magdalene coming with the other Mary, right? Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Who had that?
And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him.
Okay, well, let's verse 1 will do here. Okay, so in Matthew 27:61, it says, Mary Magdalene came, knew where the tomb was, along with the other Mary. The other Mary is pointed out as the mother of Joseph, right? No, well, I'm in reference in Matthew 27 here, right? And Mark 15:47, son of Joseph, right? But here, it, the one that comes to the tomb the next day with Mary Magdalene is the mother of James, right? Solomon, Salome is another woman that's with them at the tomb, okay? And so you have the mother of Joseph and the mother of James that are mentioned. But if you look at these two verses, 15:40 specifically says she's the mother of both of him. So it's not two separate Marys that we're dealing with at this particular time. Mary, the mother of James, is the same person as Mary, the mother of Joseph, and she is also the other Mary, okay? The one that is listed in Matthew 27 and 28 as the other Mary is Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Now, if you ask me why didn't they just say that, I can't tell you why God always chooses certain phrases in order to do that. I can't tell you why He chose that.
The way that I explain it, Rick, is you have four gospel accounts. Right? Let's say that you had all four men here, and you had one in that corner, one in this corner, one standing there, and you're all asking them to describe the same event. They're going to tell it from a different perspective. The guy over there in that corner is going to have a little bit different perspective than the guy over here. And so maybe it may be that Mark, of course, like you said, we don't know this for certain, but maybe that Mark had a better relationship with James than he did Joseph.
It could
so
be.
James is the one that he mentions.
Yep.
If you're friends with two brothers, the one that's your best friend, that's the one that you want to talk about first rather than the other.
Yep.
And so that may, we have to also remember that while this is verbally from there inspired by God, that these are men that are right. And they're going to like Luke would use terms of position, whereas John's going to talk like a fisherman.
And they're writing to a specific group of people. And they're writing for a specific purpose. And although their purpose might be generally the same, specifically there might be a little difference there. Very good. Very good. So I'm sorry? Go ahead.
I think he does it to make it study.
Yep. Well, by the way, I actually think that's probably a part of the answer that ought to be included there. Is it does, you know, if he just come out and gave a list with a dictionary and said all of these verses reference Mary Magdalene, and she is the mother of all these, and you had this, you know, in my diction Bible here, it's not inspired, by the way, but I do have a Herodian family tree. Why they chose the Herodian family tree, I don't know. I know that they are very prominent throughout, but there's one in here. And it's a whole family tree. The Bible is not written like that. And so it does cause us to investigate, right? It caused me to investigate this week more so than I wanted to investigate about the different Marys in the New Testament. I didn't really have a desire when I saw the question, name the five Marys, that we were going to have a two-day study on what Mary was what. Now, I'm going to blame, I'm not going to blame, but I know who to blame if we need to blame. But I'm not going to do that. She is my least favorite student at this time, but I'm not going to go there, okay? All right. By the way, we did more Bible study in regards to that question than we have a lot of them. So I'm giving her a little bit of a hard time, and I know that that's okay. So,
I was just
right?
told today that when you struggle, you learn more.
Oh, really? Well, see there?
See?
You have learned more because you have struggled. But by the way, let me just ask you this question. Who went home and did any homework on this? Are you telling me I was the only one that was so upset and
okay, well, I'll give you that.
You needed to provide me? I did. I needed to provide me one. That's all I was thinking about was I want to try to wrap this up in my head. But then I thought to myself as I wrote all this down on the other side, here's what I thought. This whole lesson will spur other questions that I can't answer, and we'll go through this process again. And it'll be frustrating and irritating, and don't even raise your hand tonight. Don't even. Okay, we're moving on to 88. Before we get any further, yes, ma'am.
No, I needed to, because I think you answered it on the other side, and you flipped it over. What was the Greek word that was used in John chapter 19? Which Greek word of sister was it?
Adelphos or Adelphi.
Was it the sister, not the
faith? Sister, yes, sister.
That's what I needed. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. All right, so question number 88. We're going to get through this test before we get to December, right? All right, question number 88. Stephen was one of the seven deacons, right? That is the answer on the test. Have you ever had a question on a test, school or whatever, to where the teacher says this is the answer and you know it's not? All right? Right? You've never had one of those? You've never had a question dealing with evolution and the age of the earth? The Tyrannosaurus Rex was wiped out 65 million years ago. And the answer is 65 million years ago. I don't mind writing for my instructor. The answer that you want is 65 million years ago, but that's just not correct. now he can take that however he wants to and mark it right, wrong, or indifferent, but not a deacon in the sense of an office. Okay, the qualifications are not the same, right? You look at the qualifications for the men that are listed. Now, are they going to serve in the same mannerism as the deacons later on in the office are going to serve? Yes. All right, they are taking care of the work for someone else, and that is by definition a deacon. So I would also say that there are other times in which a technical word may be utilized in a generic sense. The word elder, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1, it is used in a generic sense. He's not talking about someone who holds the office of an elder there. He's talking about someone who is older than Timothy, an older person in the congregation. Yet later on, he would say, he would talk about those who serve in the office as receiving double honor if they did double labor. That is, if you have an evangelist that is also an elder, then he is worthy of double honor because he is performing double duty. And so that is certainly the office of an elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the office, the work, the responsibility of a deacon. And these men are going to carry out the responsibility for other people. And so you do have Stephen there. The answer, and I have it right here in bold. It is, Stephen was one of the seven deacons, okay? So I may not use that particular terminology just to try to distinguish it. But, for example, the exact word of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8, is utilized. I say the exact word. It is from the same form of Phoebe in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 16 in verse number 1. And it does not refer to an office, but is a general term. She is a servant. Your more credible translations will translate it from that particular perspective, I believe, as a servant rather than a deacon. By the way, there are several words that are utilized let's just look here real quick at... let me get over to Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. Where do we leave off on our Bible reading? Who's up next. Romans, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Nate, chapter 4 and verse number 7 out of the same book. 1:25 and 4 and 7. Somebody else. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Who has that? All right, we're going to have to... Royce, you have that one. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 2. Okay, so let's look at Colossians 1:25.
Whereof I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't find the word deacon in that verse at all. But it is there. It's translated differently in this verse. It's translated as minister. The word minister in the New Testament is a translation out of the same word as deacon, you see. Chapter 4 and verse number 7 there.
All my state shall continue to declare unto you, who was a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord.
All right, again, we have the word translated minister in that sense. That's a more general term. Minister is a servant. All right, look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 2.
And send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish and encourage you concerning the faith.
Again, we have minister, right? Somebody look up, anybody bring their smartphone where they can look up? I do have my computer here, but I did not bring it. Look up Mark chapter 10 and verse number 43. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 43. Josh, you have, you look like you pulled yours out there. What is the word there, now the text says, the King James, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, 45. I got to put my real glasses on.
I got serve.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it the word deacon there? Diakonos or something, some form similar to that?
Diakonos.
Yeah, okay, it is diakonos. Okay. It's again, it's the same. It's the same form of the word, but Jesus was not Jesus did not hold the office of deacon in that sense. He came to serve. That's what this word means. By the way, Jesus is also referenced as the bishop and overseer of your souls, right? But he doesn't hold the office of an elder in a local congregation. He is the chief shepherd, right? Over all shepherds, and will hold them all responsible for that. He is also referred to, what is it, Hebrews chapter, is it 3 and verse number 4, where he's referenced as an apostle? And it says he's an apostle. He's considered then the apostle and high priest of our profession. Well, he wasn't one of the 12, was he? He wasn't the one called is it due season?
For Paul?
Yes. Talking about Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it's that's not what he's referencing there. He was sent on a mission. He was sent from God on a mission to be the servant of humanity and to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, you see. And that's using that word in that particular sense. So you have specific words that reference generic, and then you have a specific office or responsibility in regards to that. So Stephen was one of, if you get that in December on Donna's test, if it says deacon, then you get a green light. If you say, I don't know if he's a deacon, you get a red light, okay? I'm just telling you. So we want to win this, okay? We want to put our children to shame, okay? Maybe that's going overboard. But, the first Christian martyr, question number 89. Stephen, right? By the way, do you notice how these, I told you this, right? They Stephen, first Christian martyr, right? And several of these go hand in hand like that, right? And so with regards to Stephen, let me see what... Okay, well, I think we're doing all right. In regards to Stephen and those that surrounded... Why was Stephen stoned, by the way?
Preaches the gospel.
But it was such a... Have you read that sermon?
It's a huge and comprehensive thing.
Oh, the scheme of redemption unfolded right before their eyes. Yet when he got to the conclusion of that, the scheme of redemption is about whom? Whom? Who? It doesn't matter to me. I'm from Oklahoma. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. By the way, and they were, right? They did always resist the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, right? And, you know, so, by the way, the Bible says they were cut to the heart, right? A little bit different than Acts 2 is a pricking of the heart. It's as if it's a prick in regards to causing the emotions to stir within a person. But this word simply means to saw it right in half. Yes, sir.
I mean, and when you look at what Peter preached and what Stephen preached, they are essentially parallel. They're essentially the same thing. It's the heart of man that made the difference. In Acts chapter 2, they were pricked in their heart and they obeyed the gospel. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart, near to you, always resist the Holy Spirit. They were stiff-necked in the case of Stephen, and it cost him his life.
Stiff-necked people will not obey the gospel. That is, unless they quit being stiff-necked, right? Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I see the bell is... walking that way. So they gnashed on him with their teeth. I've been asked this question probably 100 times. I really have a hard time believing that they're biting Stephen as they're transporting him to stone him. It's really more of the gnashing of a teeth like a wolf or a dog would in gritting and then the growl. By the way, they... I guess you could call it a growl. It's a screech. It's a growl. It's a hollering out. Sometimes even with insensible. It's not with words, but it's just well, some say a scream, calling out aloud, a shriek, an exclamation. You see, is the ideal. They stopped their ears. That is, they stopped listening. They would not hear a single, another word that he said in regards to that. And then they ran upon him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And Stephen was stoned for the same thing that 3,000 people obeyed, about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel in Acts 2. And so it does revolve around the heart. I have a series of lessons on, I believe, 3 different prophets out of the Old Testament that I find quite interesting. If you look at Isaiah was a prophet who is told to go and to preach. He was a good prophet who went and preached to a bad people. And they wouldn't hear him, Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Jonah, on the other hand, I hate to call him a bad prophet because he did preach the bidding that God bid him, told him to preach. But he didn't have a good attitude about it. Isaiah had a good attitude, but the people had a bad attitude. What was the result of Isaiah's preaching? They went into captivity, right? What was the outcome of Jonah's preaching? They repented and saved the city. So let me ask you this. Does the gospel depend, my reception of it, depend upon more of my heart or the preacher's heart?
Your heart.
My heart, doesn't it? Now, my acceptance to God as a preacher will have something to do with my heart, right? But your reception of it should never be in response to what you think my heart is. It should never be in response to that. It should be in response to the Word of God itself. And sometimes we say, well, if that preacher just hadn't have done it that way, He just kind of looked mean when he said it that way. He didn't smile. You know, I was with Colleyville and Ross Hafner's up there, and one of the young men said, "Oh, Ross told us always to smile when we say that." You know, and I'm like, I can't preach on church discipline or people going to hell, and I can't smile. And so I said, "Ross, I just can't do it, and can't do it. I tried, and I can't do it. But sometimes I probably need to smile a little bit more." But the reception of the truth is not on whether or not I smile or whether or not you think that my attitude is good or bad. It's always based upon the receiver's attitude about the word preached. Always should be on that. Now, God will hold me accountable if my attitude is incorrect, right? That's a different discussion. That's Philippians chapter 1, right? Therein you have ill-motived individuals. What did Paul say about ill-motived individuals preaching the truth and how I should handle them?
Let them preach.
Why? They're preaching the word, right? They're preaching the word. So even if you have a preacher that has a bad attitude, Paul says, let him preach. So here, the problem was their attitude toward the truth. And that gets to the heart of the matter.
I think what's interesting too about that particular thing with Stephen is, and the parallel between him and Peter, is that both groups of people were convicted.
Oh, yes.
They were convicted. Yeah. Each group was. It's just like we mentioned earlier, just the reaction. So,
some were convicted toward truth, and the others were convicted toward...
Well, you have today. I mean, you got folks that react in a... We think of it as an illogical way to recruit. They're pricked in the heart, or they're cut in the heart, and yet rather than run to it, they go another way.
Yep. Rather than run to it and embrace the messenger, they run to it and slay the messenger, right? Absolutely. All right. Oh, I was going to let y'all go before the bell came back. but I didn't get to, so... I've enjoyed the last couple of classes because y'all have really made me think. So my admonition is stop that. I don't want to do that anymore. Okay?